Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Discover a healthcare team that's always here for you at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
They didn't see it coming in 2016, but this time round, governments and embassies around the world are determined not to be caught out by a second term of Donald Trump as President of the United States, so they are preparing for all eventualities. Later on in the programme, Scott Lucas will be talking us through the various geopolitical ramifications that such an outcome might have in Ukraine, in the European Union and in Asia. First though, how likely is President Trump version 2.0? Marion McCone is the US correspondent with the Business Post. Good morning to you, Marion. How likely do you think it is at this stage?
Good morning, Philip. If I had a crystal ball that was functioning, I would tell you. But the truth is, nobody knows. At the moment, what we know is looking very likely is that Donald Trump will be the Republican candidate. Now, that's looking very likely in just a poll that came out a couple of hours ago, a coefficient poll. I don't know that company. They could be Donald Trump under a different name for all I know, but it is showing what we're all sensing here from being at different events is that Ron DeSantis's his support is just eroding on every level very quickly. The most recent poll puts Donald Trump at 55%. Ron DeSantis is now at 13%, and Chris Christie is at 5%, and everybody else is in the twos, ones, threes, and fours. So DeSantis, who in March, at the end of March, beginning of April, he was at 30-31%. His game has basically imploded, and it's Donald Trump who's reaping all of the rewards there. Not going to any of the other candidates. Nikki Haley ain't getting nothing from him. Neither is Mike Pence. Neither are any of the others. It's all going towards Trump. And I think that the real issue here is that Ron DeSantis has been offering, his campaign is so wrongheaded on so many levels. For starters, he's presuming that the whole country's obsessed with these woke mind viruses, as he calls them. And he's also tried to get Trump's base by running to the right of Donald Trump. Nobody is getting Donald Trump's base. Donald Trump is a cult figure in American politics. And Donald Trump supporters, and I've been told this by literally at this stage, hundreds and hundreds of them, they don't want Ron DeSantis doing Trump. They want Trump doing Trump. And that's it. And now, and of course, DeSantis has made himself so extreme a figure that there's no way now really for him to pivot to the center and to say, oh, I was only joking about not teaching Black history. I was only joking about banning trans. Don't say gay. Doesn't mean anything. So it's going to be very, very hard for him to go to the other side to pick up, we'll say, the 45% who are not supporting Donald Trump at the moment in the Republican Party. And, you know, he's really in a tricky position. So Donald Trump, he doesn't leave oxygen for anybody else, particularly with all of the indictments that every day nobody's getting a look in. It's not just the other Republican candidates. Joe Biden isn't getting a look in. You know, I don't know how his campaign's going to fare because Donald Trump just absorbs all of the political oxygen in every room. And so it just means that nobody else is getting their voice heard in any decent way. But, you know, this week in Iowa, Ron DeSantis was doing another of his tours and they hired a big sort of a tin barn thing. And there were 43 people in it. And, you know, you just think, my God, you know, a couple of months ago when I was in Iowa, he was packing at the venues. And it's like the air going out of a balloon. Now, he may, you know, recalibrate. He's just fired his campaign manager. He's had three reboots in 3 weeks. But just to get back to Donald Trump, at the moment, it seems not just despite the indictments, because of the indictments, the Republican Party, the majority of voters are cleaving to him and they will not switch to anybody else.
So it would seem that the two parties are determined to do 2020 again in 2024. What might Joe Biden do to make himself a bit more popular, a bit fresher? Do you think that he might replace Kamala Harris as his running mate?
No, I can't see that happening because, I mean, personally, I do. I think that she has been much maligned, but she hasn't helped herself. She just hasn't really been, you know, I think Joe Biden really didn't know what to do with her. I think that he did her such a disservice in making her border czar, in basically saying, okay, you're in charge of immigration, because nobody can solve immigration in America. Nobody can solve that border problem. And she was being set up to fail there. But she's not, she just doesn't resonate with Americans. And I say as much with Democrats almost to a degree as with moderates, as with independents. And Republicans just revile her because she's a woman and she's black. So that doesn't really count. But she's not making the connection. She's not making the connection with America. Joe Biden, I suspect that the economy is sort of coming right. It's like sort of this lurching creature that suddenly is standing up on its hind legs and taking steps forward. And at the moment, you know, the stock market, the Democrats are terrible messengers, and Joe Biden is one of the worst. And he's just not getting out the message about Bidenomics. Now, I do know that, as we said, Trump is using all the oxygen, but American people, they should be putting it on billboards. They should be able to drive by and see inflation has dropped from almost 10% to just 3% in under a year with no recession. Wages have increased in real terms in 4%. Growth, the GDP has gone up by 2.4%. Stock market, 18% for the Fortune 500. You know, all of these things are good signs. And he's also done all this underpinning with, you know, the infrastructure project, with the investing in chip conductors and all that, and the climate change stuff, which actually he hasn't done as good a job on, I think, as he should. But overall, he's doing a really solid job as president. And I do think that if Donald Trump gets the nomination, which most Democrats that I talk to really think would be the best case scenario, I think that although America, it's so perverse, isn't it, Philip, that on the one hand, America is saying the last thing we want is two old fellas who are going to be going at each other again in a rematch of 2020, which we hated anyway. And yet that's precisely what the American voters will be setting the stage for, because if they choose Donald Trump, that's precisely what they're going to get. So I think that, you know, it seems impossible that you are looking at polls which are putting a president. Now, they're Hunter Biden, you know, Joe Biden, the optics are horrible. He really showed misjudgment. What hasn't been proved in any way is that he's in any way implicated in any corruption or in any bribery or any backhanders, despite what the Republicans are claiming. There is nothing that shows Joe Biden behaved in any way improperly as vice president in terms of his son's business. He was stupid. He was naive. Mm-hmm. It was, you know, there are a number of things you could say. There's so far now, something may come up that shows that he did in fact accept bribes or whatever is being alleged, but so far there's nothing. So I think that, you know, if you think America is looking at a admittedly an 80-year-old candidate who is not a great communicator, is not particularly charismatic, but has really rarely put a step wrong in his personal life, and, you know, is somebody who's seen as a decent, empathic guy, and somebody who has been an astonishingly, for many people, effective president, and somebody who almost turned the midterms into a win for the Democrats, you know, had the best midterm results since John F. Kennedy. And you think then, how can he be polling neck and neck with an ex-president who basically tried to overthrow the election results in 2020, who's now facing over 80 different indictments, and who behaved as he did while he was president, and, you know, before he was president, who has scandals relating to sexual assault, who has scandals relating to hush money to call girls, who has all kinds of scandals. But yet, this is where we're at in America. And the one thing that Donald Trump has that Joe Biden doesn't have is this sort of ferocious charisma that people just seem to lap up at every Trump event I've been to. They go there for the circus, basically. They go there for the entertainment. They go there to hear Donald Trump being outrageous. And Joe Biden, I've seen him in many situations, he really cannot hold a crowd in anything approaching the same way. So for all, I think, the wrong reasons, it probably will be a close fought election if it is Joe Biden and Donald Trump. The only thing that may happen is that, and I think this is why a lot of the Republican candidates are determined to hang in there and try and pick up a few delegates, there is a feeling that at some stage that all of these indictments will just start having a sort of a drip effect on the Republican electorate, and that they're going to start thinking, what are we doing here? And that there may be some sort of a reality at some point, or something may come out in one of the court cases. Now, it certainly looks like the January 6th indictment is going to go full steam ahead. I wouldn't be surprised if that case is heard in January or February. And that stuff might come out, and that might make people go, oh my God, you know, we really didn't realize it was that bad or whatever. But then again, Trump's base is not going to desert him no matter what comes out in a trial. So I don't know where we're going with this, Philip. I suspect, as I say, it's just impossible to predict because there are many variables. But at the moment, it does look like we're heading into a Trump-Biden rematch.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.